What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 275, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Weather changed here recently. Not changed. It's been getting warmer, but it's like, yeah. It's been hot the last couple of days. So it's good. How about you?
Yeah, I went
to enjoy some weather today, right?
Well, I mean, I'm in San Diego now. So every day is
great weather.
Yeah, every day is great, which is like, if you, and I don't even know if you get it. I guess you get it. Cause I mean, you get winter and stuff, but I mean, in Pittsburgh, it was like maybe, there's 365 days in a year, maybe like 100 out of those days were nice. Maybe, you know, it's cloudy, rainy, cold, whatever. But now it's like every day is so nice. And it's just, that does like a lot for your, for your mind, you know? So, yeah. Definitely enjoying that. I actually went to the pool today. My hair's kind of all.
Is that why?
And I'm sure I'm going to like, I can feel it. You can't see it in the video, but like I feel warm and I feel like I'm going to have sunburn all over me. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. Old man is in the chat. He says, "Hey guys, what's going on, old man?" My feud with Amazon has
continues?
Ceased. No, it hasn't continued. It ceased so far. I've ordered like three more things and everything has come. So we're good. So no issues with Amazon, but yeah, busy week, kind of like the wrap up of Computex. We obviously have the 3070 Ti, reviews that launched today, which is not really that exciting. We have some other stuff to talk about. Obviously, if you guys want to follow along, we have our show notes page, which is linked in the description of the video where you're watching this, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. If you want to follow along, that gives you basically everything that we're going to be talking about this week. And we'll start off with the one review that I did get done this week. That was on the EVGA X17 gaming mouse. And every time I do this, I'm like, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it.
Oh, like, right. Boy. I wish I had it
and
here.
I'm like, wait, it's way over there. So I'm not going to leave and get it. But so I'm sure most of you guys know, and I'm sure Ryan, you know as well. The big thing, probably the past almost 2 years, a year and a half, has been lightweight gaming.
Definitely. Like,
That has been the trend. That's what people are getting. And like, I mean, I was converted. I don't know if what mouse you're using these days, but
I'm using the HyperX Pulse Fire Haste.
That's a lightweight one as well. I was converted probably like 3 years ago. I was converted to lightweight, but EVGA is sticking with being different. I think, again, especially when it comes to their motherboards, they're different. Mm-hmm. And they have released the X17. So they actually announced three mice. I think there's an X15, an X17, X20, maybe. I don't think the 20 is out yet. But this is like your more traditional large mouse, very geared towards FPS. You could use it for some other stuff, but it's mainly an FPS mouse. Sure. The big selling points of this mouse, one, that it has three different sensors, which I'll talk about, and that it does support up to an 8,000 hertz polling rate. So most mice, your polling rate is going to be 1,000 hertz. Mm-hmm. This does eight times that. Now, we'll go in and talk about that as well, because for a lot of people, that's not really going to be a justifiable option. At least at this point, and only certain titles will support that and all that kind of stuff. So the mouse itself it's big. It's a bigger, very ergonomically, very ergonomic. And it's interesting because like most mice right here, you know, like it has like a ledge. Like this is like a ledge that overhangs the side. It is extremely comfortable. I have to say, I was very surprised at how comfortable it is. The palm rest and the buttons, they have a sort of like a, soft tech.
It's like not a rubber. Soft touch plastic, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a soft touch plastic. And then each side has this rubber with this kind of, I don't know what you want to call that. Just like, it's very like, pattern, yeah, some sort of pattern. It's very, very comfortable. You can see how dramatic this mouse is if you look at it from the front. Yeah. But again, it's comfortable. It's not like you would look at this and be like, yeah, that's not going to be comfortable, but it's very, very comfortable. In the hand, you have a total of 10 buttons. You have two main ones. You have two different buttons right here that can be programmed. Obviously, you can click the scroll wheel. You have one of the largest sniper buttons that I've ever seen on a mouse. And then on the side, you have your back and forward buttons and some LEDs to let you know what DPI level you're on and all of that.
Now, that silver, is that silver EVGA? Not a button?
No, it's just, that is not a button. Okay,
body.
Yes. Yeah. Now, while I like the design and I think it's very comfortable, that sniper button, you physically have to... Yeah, no, it's not in the way.
It's hard to access.
Yeah, it's hard to access. So your thumb... If I go back up this picture, your thumb's going to sit right about here. So you have to physically move it.
Pull it away.
It's not like most sniper buttons you see will be in here somewhere. Like if it was like right below here, maybe.
Right.
Or something. You know what I mean? Like that's where we... So beyond, like I said, I liked the design, but that's probably the one fault of the design is that most people, especially if you're doing competitive gaming, you're not going to use that sniper button because it just takes too long, right? It takes too long to lift your finger up and access it. And it is, unless you're like, I mean, it will take probably weeks to get used to lifting it like that, you know, like it's very awkward at first. So,
well, and that also like typically the sniper button changes your DPI setting, right?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Usually, right? So not only do you have to turn it on, you then have to turn it off when you're done, right? So you have to hit that thing twice.
Yeah.
To move in and out of those DPI settings. So,
Yeah. So, like I said, that's the only kind of downside to the overall design. At the bottom, we have our main sensor, which is the PixArt PMW3389. That is a very, very standard optical sensor for a mouse. A lot of mouses that we reviewed this year have it. 16,000 DPI, maximum tracking speed of 400 IPS. But there's also two lift-off distance sensors. There's one right here, and there's one right here. Now, these will measure the distance that you're lifting the mouse to give, and it works with an internal algorithm to actually change the lift-off distance. You can set it so it dynamically changes the lift-off distance, giving you a more accurate reading, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Because, yeah, okay. Like when I move my mouse around, like I do, you know, you may not notice it until you really pay attention, but like I move my mouse and I lift it up a ton. And, you know, depending on like if you're putting it down at an angle, right, you're not putting it flat down onto your mouse pad, right? That can affect your aim or whatever in the game. So, no, I think that makes sense to have those extra sensors to be more accurate.
So what you do is in the software, you like basically like register your gaming surface, whether it can, you know, whatever you're using, mouse mat, mouse pad, just your desk. You add it in there and then you can really fine tune all of that stuff, or you can just set it to be dynamic as well. So that's the one thing. And another thing, which we haven't seen in a very, very long time, on the bottom of the mouse, there's a magnetic compartment. In that magnetic compartment, you can actually install 5 5-gram weights. This mouse by itself is 106 grams. So that would make it 100. And
plus
20,
another
25. Yeah, 131. So 131. So I'll show you those. Those are on the first page here. Let's see. So you can see this little, you know, remember get used to getting these? And you know, it's like it kind of brings back memory. So for those who want to dynamically change the weight of the mouse or they're not okay with 106 grams, you can add a couple of these or one or however many you want. You can go ahead and do that, which a lot of gamers like. But again, with lightweight mice, that kind of went away. You know, no dynamically changing the weight of your mouse. And then as far as lighting, obviously with anything these days, RGB, you have RGB here on the front, you have RGB on the mouse wheel, and then you have RGB on the palm rest. It's good RGB lighting. You can control it with their software. The software is good. It's not great. There's only a couple people that really do gaming software well, but this has all the settings that you're going to want. You can change all of the, there's five different stages for DPI level. You can actually set the amount of stages too. So say you're a gamer that maybe fluctuates between three stages. So you don't have to keep on cycling through all five. You can actually set the sensitivity stages to three. And then you have your sniper one that you can set as well. This is where you register your service or your surface. It's very easy to do. RGB lighting, all those three lighting zones that I talked about, they're all controlled independently. So you can set different effect for each one. You can fully reprogram the mouse, as you should be able to with any mouse these days. Fully reprogrammable, you can, there's a macro editor, all that kind of stuff.
How's the cable?
The cable's not bad. It's not a lightweight cable by any means.
Which
it's not.
It's fine, I guess, on a heavier mouse.
Yeah, it's not as heavy as mice from 4 years ago, that big braided cable. It's not like that, but it's not like the lightweight that you see on the traditional lightweight mice.
Sure.
So it's kind of in between, I'd say. Okay. So overall comfort, I tested this initially at just 1000 Hertz because that's what most mice are. And just to test the sensor, everything was good. It's comfortable beyond that sniper button. Very comfortable. And I actually really liked it. It would be a mouse that I would definitely use for sure. Moving on to, moving up to 8,000 Hertz polling rate. Now, the thing you have to understand is even I had to kind of read up on this and understand. So at 1,000 Hertz polling rate, that means that every 1 millisecond, your system's getting an update of their position of your mouse. So most mice, every 1 millisecond, your system's getting an update of the position. At 8,000 Hertz, the interval's 0.125 milliseconds. Now, the biggest thing is you can't just set this and it work, right? The whole idea of 8,000 Hertz is that is theoretically what the mouse will, that is the max, right? So say you, I'm trying to explain this so it's not so hard. So say you have, you're driving to the airport and the, there's a thing, the height where you're driving, it's 10 feet. So you can have cars that are, 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, but 10 foot is the maximum.
Yep.
Yeah. So 8,000 Hertz is the max, but the only way you'll achieve 8,000 Hertz is if you're actually moving the mouse enough to have that many pixels of motion, that you'll transmit to your system. On top of that, this is something that is going to be taxing on your system. For 8,000 Hertz, it's really recommended that you have a CPU that's at least 6 cores.
Wow.
It's because, you're reporting a lot of data very, very fast. Most people aren't on Windows 7 or 8, but that won't work because the report rate on that version of Windows is not fast enough. If you're a low DPI person, 600, 800, you're not going to utilize that. So this is really recommended for higher DPI settings and things like that. Obviously you need to plug the mouse into a USB 3.1 port and above as well. So just keep all that in mind. Now I tested it and it's something that you don't necessarily notice. The human eye can't know, you just don't notice it. Maybe I felt that things were a little bit smoother, but I could just be saying that in my head as well, right?
I mean, to me, this seems like it's mostly a response time.
Yes.
Right. So, like, if you're able to, like, visually see a target on the screen move or whatever, and, you know, you're moving your hand to move that mouse, like, if you're doing it just 1/8 of a millisecond faster, right, it will be able to recognize that instead of waiting until that full millisecond comes up to register that movement. So I think it'd have advantages, but man, like, that's
nuts. Yeah, and there's a lot of games that don't support it yet. You need a lot of games have a setting called like advanced, I forget what it's called, but you would see it in the game. It's actually in the game settings. Okay. Because most games aren't traditionally made for mice with this faster report rate, and you have to enable it in the game. There's only a few games that will support it. People have run into lag issues, stuttering issues. Like, there's a lot, you know, because again, it's a taxing process on your system. So a lot of people, I mean, you can set this to 2000 Hertz, 4000 Hertz. I mean, a lot of people are saying, like, you know, I'll run it at 4000, like in the middle, like at 4000 Hertz.
Sure.
You know, less, because again, when you're gaming, and you're taxing your CPU more, that's going to affect your game performance. And we don't want to be cutting off FPS from our games, obviously. So I think that 8,000 Hertz, it's like a good thing to have, especially if you do, you know, if you're somebody who's has like a 240 Hertz monitor where like you can really see the difference, in response time really, really matters, and you're a serious gamer, I think that it's something good to have. But I don't think it's bad to have either, because it's kind of like a future-proof thing. I think that as things evolve and, you know, going down the line, it's like, you know, having that 4K monitor like 5 years ago, right? Like, you kind of, you know,
ahead of the game.
Ahead of the game. And it's not, I mean, this mouse is only $68.51 on Amazon right now. Yeah, it's not that expensive. I like that they have the three sensor design that gives you more accurate reading. I like that we can push it, like, it, because a lot of mice that have claimed 8,000 Hertz have been like where you have to like modify your USB drivers for it to work, and it wasn't really like that. This implementation actually works. So it's worth checking out. And like I said, the mouse is comfortable. I gave it a 9 out of 10. So definitely check that one out. It's a cool mouse. I learned a lot about pulling rate during this review, which I liked. You know, like, I knew what pulling rate was, but like, you don't
really think about it. Yeah.
You don't think about it in performance, and then you get to see the difference, or not see it, but like play and see, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Old man said the silver EVGA should be a button. It is taking up a lot of space, but like, that would be dramatically hard to use because it's on the side and it's so far forward. Like, if we look at it, it's so far forward and it's angled
that like click it with your, like, instead of it being a button that clicks in towards the mouse, like if it was another button you could hit with your left mouse finger,
right? Yeah,
to like click down. Maybe.
Yeah, I think Rocket had a mouse that I reviewed that had something like that, mm-hmm. where like it would press down on, you know. But yeah, good mouse. So definitely go ahead and check all of that out. That brings us to Case Mod Friday, and this week, man, I like want this built. It's just so nice looking. I was like, I looked at this and I was absolutely blown away. So this one is by Sneff Computer Design. We featured him so many times on here, and this is done in the Cougar Blazer case, which is a really great case, but he has made this absolutely excellent with the custom water channels here, and the blue and the silver and the white. I'm just, yeah, I'm a fan.
It's pretty sweet build.
Yeah. It's just like all the lines mm-hmm. are just perfect. With the components that he's used, you don't, like, you know, this is a, I don't know if this board, I'm pretty sure this board is the, like, the water cooling board. If not, this is like the actual monoblock for the board, so you really can't see much of it. You know, even like the the radiator is kind of hidden back there, and then you like just
almost I like that cutout on the motherboard plate, like for the 24 pin where it's just kind of like peeking through,
and
disappears behind. Yeah, this is awesome.
Find a close up. Oh, this one's kind of closer, but like, yeah, like right here,
and you that know, distro plate on the bottom there where the
right here
the GPU, and then you've got the the power for the GPU going down through it. Yeah, this thing's slick.
Yeah, it's just sleek. I think that SNEF is really known for sleek, very like shiny. Like you have the silver. It's interesting because they use silver here, but these are clear and blue, I think. Or maybe I'm not seeing that right. Are those silver? Let's see. Oh, those are silver. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I mean, just clean, very, very clean. And it looks like just the case, right? Like it's just so well done. It doesn't look like a crazy mod. It just looks like this is how this comes. Like this case comes with this. It comes like this. Like crazy. That's how well it's done. It's a really, really, really great build. i9-10900K. So it's the RG Maximus, what is that? 13 Extreme Glacial, RTX 3080 OC, ROG Thor 1200 watt power supply. I mean, this thing is just EK water cooling. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan. It's a
nice build. I do love that memory too. That T-Force stuff.
Yeah, T-Force stuff is really nice. And then this motherboard does have the little LCD, so you can display a bunch of stuff.
A little window there that shows the liquid channel. Oh,
yeah. This is sweet. Or like, I want this build, please. Just an excellent. Like I said, I just keep on like going through these pictures. It's like, here you can see that channel right here. I mean, that's just great, great work there. It's like everything done well.
Another cool thing is I didn't notice it till looking at this picture closer, like the bottom of the motherboard, you don't actually see the bottom edge. It's like down a little bit behind that distro plate. So like all your USB headers and, you know, all your like ugly cables that we still have to connect like in a real build, like would be hidden with this. So that's pretty cool too.
I said, it's just, I'm trying to find anything that I could be like critique about it, but there's just not.
I don't really know that there is, honestly.
Yeah, it's just like one of those ones, because every time like you and I are both like, oh, I wish they would have done something a little different. But
yeah, no, this was awesome.
Don't see it. So definitely check this one out. Shout out to SNEF Computer Design. He does excellent work, and this is probably going to be one of my favorites of the year, I have to say. It's just so well done.
Yeah.
So definitely go ahead and check that out. I'm getting hot, man. It's like hot in here. I feel like I'm gonna get more red. Yeah, I'm gonna get more red as the podcast goes along. I feel like that's what it is. So our next thing we wanted to talk about RTX 3070 Ti. So the reviews they launched today.
Yep.
It was announced officially last week or a week before,
1 or 2 weeks ago. Yep.
Yeah, but the 3080 Ti reviews came first. Today was the 3070 Ti reviews. Just to catch everybody up, because I have my notes here, because we didn't get one into review. But comparing this to the 3070, which a lot of people are going to because it's the 3070 Ti, it's based on the same GA104 GPU, but it fully uses the full chip. So you have 6,144 cores enabled, which is about a 4% difference in cores over the 3070. You still have 8 gigabytes of VRAM, but the VRAM is GDDR6 now. So it increases the memory bandwidth by about 35%. I don't have pictures of it. I should have brought up somebody else's review. Let's see who do you think has a
review of it.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's like Power Up has a Founders Edition review.
Yeah, so they changed the cooler. Yeah, I'm on Tech Power. So they changed the cooler as well. So the cooler on the Founders Edition is a little back. Yeah, it's the front and back design. Same thing you saw in the 3080 and 3090. If you guys remember, the 3070 had two fans here instead of, you know, that. So that was another change. It uses this, well, the, again, the Founders Edition uses that stupid connector, which I'm not a fan of because they put it in such a weird position. But beyond the Founders Edition, that's kind of the big changes. And it is $100 more expensive than the 3070. So it is $599. The 3070 is $499. I read a bunch of reviews today of all the different cards because there's AIB cards launched today too. So you can pick up stuff from Asus, Aorus, MSI. I mean, EVGA, like everybody has cards. Basically about a 5% difference in performance over the 3070. Just don't see the point for this card at this point.
Nope.
At this point, I don't see if you 5% performance is not, if you traditionally think about TI cards, it's they're not 5% better.
No. Where I think this card makes sense is if you've been planning to build or buy a card, right? And you just haven't been able to. And for some reason, this card is available, either a Founders Edition. I don't think that these aftermarket third-party cards are going to be worth the price increase for them. But if you can find a Founders Edition card at MSRP, I think it's worth it because there's nothing available otherwise, right? And if you just happen to find one of these, it makes sense. Outside of that situation, I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like they're kind of, I think a lot of people would rather appreciate more 3070s marketplace.
More 3070s, more 3060s, absolutely.
Yeah, with the GA104, like we don't need another SKU that's going to cost us $100 more. That's going to give us 5% more performance. Why don't you just
make more 3070s?
Yeah, make more 3070s. Like, let me go to Best Buy and find one on the shelf, which would be impossible.
Yep.
But you know what I mean? It's like, and again, like you said, availability, you're not going to be able to buy these. I mean, we saw you're not, you know, I've seen stuff on eBay already on these and they're just, you know,
the price premium that you're most likely going to end up paying is not worth the performance increase.
Yeah. So that's kind of all we have to say about, I mean, like, obviously, we don't have one, so we're not like, I can't go into great detail. But I just think that the 3080 Ti and the 3070 Ti are just like flops.
Yeah.
And like, I wonder the NVIDIA marketing people, because you see like almost all the reviews are bad per se. I mean, most, especially like the YouTube reviews are bad. Are they just sending them to get like to be shit on?
Right.
You know, because most reviewers are going to be like, if it's shit, like I'm not going to say it's not shit, or I'm going to say that like it's kind of like a waste of a
SKU. And you know who you're sending them to ahead of time, right? If you're NVIDIA.
Yeah.
And if you keep up with their content, which you do because you know who you're going to send them to, then you know like everybody is pretty much released or said things like, you know, just looking at the specs, this doesn't look good. And the current GPU market sucks and all this. So, you know, going into it, sending that card to them, you're probably going to get shit on. So, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what their alternative is other than, like you said, just, hey, we're going to focus instead of making another SKU and bumping this up. We're going to make more 3070s at a more affordable price to get them into hands of more people.
Well, not even more affordable. Like just, I mean, if they would
not necessarily more affordable, but at the price of a 3070, right?
Do you think that this was just like, we need something for Computex, we have nothing else?
I don't think especially
this SKU, because we always said that there needed to be 1,000. Well, now it's 1,200, but there needed to be something between the 3080 and the 3090. That one made a little bit more sense in that respect, but this
just doesn't
add up. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, I guess, but you got to have something, but for what? Because availability still is horrible. So announcing products there just kind of sucks right now.
Yeah. Old man in the chat, he said, I'd love to have two more sticks of matching memory. Prices have gone up since I bought the first two. Yeah, there's one. We have global shortage on basically all electronics. Two, there was just a story that I was reading earlier today that I think it was SK Hynix, like a bunch of their wafers were bad and like they're trying to downplay it, but it's like 240,000 wafers are bad. So that's obviously going to affect pricing amount, as well. Yeah. Yeah. Especially when it comes to memory. So yeah, it's just a bad, we've been talking on this podcast for months, like, oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Like,
something else adding on to the pile.
Yeah. It's like, everything is because of the pandemic. And then, not that the pandemic's over, but it's like, you know, things are obviously better when it comes to like supply chain now. But then we're like, okay, we still have a massive shortage. The scalpers have only got worse. The crypto stuff has only got worse. Now you have like, I saw too that there was a massive fire at some chip plant in China or something. It's just like, you know, those massive plants, like if anything goes down for like an hour, like that affects
much. And that's what all of this is leading up to, you know, not just in technology products, but like so many other aspects of like shortages around the, you know, whatever product market it is, you know, lumber, cars, the chips, everything. Like it's that just in time manufacturing where if there's a kink or a screw up somewhere in that line, it can just have these chain reactions and it just can grow and grow. And then, especially if you have more than one issue, right? It's just a mess. There's no easy alternatives to get out of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, so that's just it's just a bad time. But AMD did announce new graphics cards, not of the consumer variety, but they did announce their Radeon Pro W6000 series based on RDNA 2. You have the Pro W6800, the Pro W6600, and the Pro W6600M, which is for mobile or, you know, laptops. I mean, it's good to see, but it's like, I mean, we don't really, you know, use professional graphics cards, and I'm sure most of you guys don't either. But we have all the specs and stuff if you want to check them out. But yeah, just the same blue design, nothing much really new with their pro cards. They're keeping it to the blue design as well. So you guys can see what the two different cards look like. One's a little thinner than the other.
Are those, where they have multiple, like six micro display port?
Yes.
To their connections? Wow.
Yeah, that's what that looks like. Cool. Pretty crazy. But yeah, that's all enterprise and professional graphics stuff. But those were obviously launched this past week. And then a really interesting story talking about mobile graphics cards is that apparently Dell put out their Alienware M15 R5 with an RTX 3070. And who's this guy? The one reviewer, Jared's Tech, who's a tech YouTuber. He got the laptop and he was like, wait, this, you know, you bring up where you can see your CUDA cores and it had 10% less CUDA cores than the 3070, the mobile 3070 should have.
Yeah.
And, I saw this story. Yeah. Whoops. And then he contacted them, and they said it was a mistake and it'll be fixed by July or something. But it probably, I think a lot of it had to do with power, on a lot of these, you know, but I mean, if I'm getting, if I'm looking at a laptop and I believe that I'm getting a 3070 mobile, like I want the full
3070 mobile.
Yeah. Like I want the full 3070 mobile. I don't want, you know, and it was like, again, it was a BIOS, a VBIOS that did that. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't just like, so yeah, they definitely did it. And like, you can see it performs lower than a bunch of other laptops that have the same card.
Yeah, I mean, that's like them putting in a, you know, a quad core processor or whatever, but only enabling three of the four to get you better efficiency, right? No, that sucks.
Yeah, so interesting. We have his video in the article if you want to learn more about it, but it's just like another thing. It's like these companies, like, seems like every like 6 months we see one of these things where like a company is just trying to be shady.
And trying to get away with it, right? Like,
well, the thing is that there are ones that NVIDIA made it like a thing where like you have to list like the details of the GPU. You can't just say 3070. Like, it has to say like the power, like they made that a thing now, because I don't know if this was going on, but like Dell was one of the companies that like just didn't tell you. So that tells you what you need to know right there, I guess. More Computex launches are around that. NZXT, they released another motherboard. They released their N7Z590. So we have seen the N7 boards from NZXT. I mean, we talked about this when we reviewed the other ones. I mean, these boards are nice, but again, it's like, is it a BioStar?
That's what I was about to ask was who did we determine was the OEM on these? BioStar, I feel like it was BioStar.
Was it BioStar ECS? I don't know. These, especially with the feature set of other motherboards now, like I look at this and I'm just like, you know, compared to an Aorus ROG, an MSI, like,
yeah,
but these make sense for NZXT's pre-built. For first time builders who, like, I mean, NZXT is a massive brand now. Their recognition is huge. A lot of first-time builders have all NZXT parts, and this is going to go well with that NZXT AIO that you're buying, with that NZXT case that you're buying.
Yeah.
You know, so I see where all that makes sense. I don't know if they have a price. $279.99, so about average for a Z590 motherboard. But yeah, available with the dust covering or heat covering, whatever you want to call it, black and white. Well, we don't have a picture with the full black one, but it's fully covered down here. So both black and white versions. One thing that is nice about these is if you're doing any modding, you can fully take all of this off and paint it. So if you wanted to do your own design on here, it's very, very easy to do that. So
I don't remember what motherboard was used in that case a while back that had like all the stickers all over it, but this would be like a perfect board for that, to like get some more surface perfect area.
Canvas.
So
NZXT put out that board. And then this is something we haven't seen since CES.
Nope.
So Intel did announce their NUC 11 Extreme Kit. So if you remember, I'm sure you remember the NUC, the next unit of computing, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
Yep.
They were like these like little tiny boxes, like extremely small, great for, they did make a few, like I remember Gigabyte had their Brick series, like there were a few that had like mobile discrete graphics, but most of them were like just little internet boxes, or I mean you could do a lot of cool stuff.
Had a pretty nice processor. It was like, yeah, graphics though were definitely typically lacking.
Yeah,
it was usually just an Iris whatever in there.
Yeah, so they announced this new NUC 11 Extreme Kit, which is bigger. It's like this thing. It kind of looks like, it almost looks about the same size as like an external GPU enclosure. With their skull logo on it there. This is called the Beast Canyon NUC. Will feature 11th gen Core i5, Core i7, Core i9 H-series processors. It's the first NUC to support full-length discrete graphics. And then somebody posted this picture, which I think is the inside of it. So it uses that...
That's that compute element piece, right?
Yeah, that's how they're doing this. So the compute element would be here, and I assume the compute element would have your CPU, maybe NVMe and your memory, all right here. And then it looks like your GPU is going to go right here. I like this. I wonder about heat and everything like that. But I mean, and this is a Core i9 11900KB. I don't know the difference between that in the like the 900K, but mm-hmm. yeah, but that plus you know, a 3080, the 30 whatever that they're gonna put right there in this small form factor, something that you could basically put in a backpack, right?
Yeah.
I like it.
Impressive amount of power.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
No, it looks like that one image looks like you've put the Beast Canyon, the Nook, inside of another case, right? It looks like somebody yeah. slotted in another computer inside of a case, but it just has that kind of daughter board, or I guess yeah. whatever you want to call it there, that connects the interface of the GPU to the rest of the system. But
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
I like it. I think that if, like, we saw Razer have their own little deal with this, I think that, and that was like the first implementation. I think that in a couple years, or maybe even like CES in January, we'll see a lot of pre-built, like a CyberPower, have these, because I think that a lot of people do want that small form factor, and you haven't necessarily, I mean, you can do it with ITX stuff, but I think this implementation is going to become popular. I could be wrong, but I think it will become popular in the future. So cool stuff to see there. And here's talking about Max M1. Yeah. We've talked about it. I've raved about it. The M1 yeah. Has just been great. Has been great for Apple. It's been, I mean, going from an Intel, or even there were some AMD SKUs for MacBooks and MacBook Pros, going from that to the M1, which not only was extremely more powerful, you know, say you bought like a MacBook like 2 or 3 years ago and you got an M1, it was like night and day performance wise. Not only that, it's efficient. It's so much more efficient than the Intel chips. So they've been crushing it. So Mac shipments have grown by 35% in the US. That's
during Q1. You know, huh?
Yeah, during Q1. I don't know what that's
like. That does surprise me too, with the issues we've seen in the supply chain and getting electronics. Like, because Q1 of 2020, like, we didn't really see anything slow down or change until late March, April, right?
Yeah.
That was really when things changed. So I'm surprised that it's up 35% in Q1 of this year. That's kind of yeah. crazy.
I think too, you know, a lot of people have been given the now that things are kind of cooling off, like they've been given the opportunity to continue to work from home. Like a lot of companies are just not going back to work. So I think that, okay, well, if I'm not going back to work, like I'm going to get a nice new laptop. Yeah. Schools are started. Well, they were starting back. And all that too, get, you know, kids stuff. So, I mean, like I said, as much as people hate Apple, they're doing the right thing. I mean, that just shows you right there. I mean, you know, so, and then talking about, we were talking about supply chain issues. It looks like GlobalFoundries and GlobalWafers are partnering to expand semiconductor wafer supply. This doesn't have as much to do with CPU specific, CPU and GPU stuff, like what we would talk about. This is more like mobile chips and things like that, because I believe GlobalFoundries is only on 12 nanometer. I don't think they go any lower than that. But they partner with GlobalWafers to expand their facility in Missouri. I didn't know there was one there. So yeah, in O'Fallon, Missouri. Have you ever heard of that place?
Nope. Let's see where it's at. Yeah. I have not, though.
So yeah, so 800
St. Louis, I think.
Yeah, so $800 million agreement to add a 300mm silicon on silicon wafer manufacturing and expand existing 200mm SOI wafer production. And this has a lot to do with not antitrust, but like security things with products coming from other countries. These are all built in the United States, so that's a big thing to do with this as well. But this might, this is gonna affect other, it's not gonna affect as much again like the stuff that, you know, the CPUs that we want to get or the GPUs that we want to get, but it will alleviate some of those responsibilities from some of the other companies, if that makes sense. So good to see. And good to get some jobs there. I assume if they're expanding, there's gonna be a lot more jobs in that area. So pretty cool to see that as well. And I sent you these last week, and I thought this, you were talking, you didn't see much at Computex that you liked, but these were announced. These were announced last week. So EK announced their Nucleus closed loop liquid CPU coolers, fully closed loop. So some of the I think the original EK AIO, you could like add stuff onto it or whatever. This is fully closed loop, which I think that I know AlphaCool does the one where you can add stuff to. I just think that that's like messy. I don't think a lot of people really take advantage. Like, no, I don't see people.
I don't think so. I mean, I see the benefit of it, but I just don't. I'd be curious to see like what their adoption of that is. What I don't like about these, I mean, I do like them because they've got the screen on there, but man, I swear, like in the other image that shows the font with the temperature, you would think that that's an NZXT, like it just looks so close to some of the default settings on the NZXT Kraken Z series that I was, but I mean, it's an Asetek, or is it an Asetek?
Is it? Design? No, I don't think. I mean, this is EK.
Is it their own? I mean, I guess it is theirs, but it just looked so much like a Asetek design, I guess.
I mean, here's the, let's see. I mean, I think they look very nice.
That's cool. Yeah, I know. I like
Obviously EK quality, like I'm almost positive it's not like an Asetek design, it's their own. So I mean, EK is one of the top water cooling brands, so I think that this is, you know, I like them. I don't, they had prices, I think like they make like a bunch. There's 122, 40, 360. And then there's a difference between the vision, so they're calling them Vision, isn't that what NZXT called theirs?
Their fans,
something, I heard somebody called something Vision with the with like a screen on
NZXTs were just the Kraken,
okay. But in any case, the Vision ones are the more expensive, so the ones with the actual screen, here. Would be, this is in euro, so 209 239, so US price should be somewhere around there. I like them. I think they're cool. They said they'll be start shipping by the end of September, and then the Vision series will be in October, so right in the holiday season. So pretty cool. I like those. I'm a fan. So let's see what else we have. And then another mouse thing. So Glorious PC Gaming Race, obviously they're known for the Model O, and then more recently the Model D, which is the more right-handed ergonomic mouse. They have announced a wireless version. Every company, just like this that I'm using, the Razer Viper Ultimate lightweight wireless, they're all going,
it's getting in on that. Yeah,
they're all going lightweight wireless. So Glorious PC Gaming Race has come out with their Model D wireless, 71-hour battery life. It does come with a 2.4 gigahertz adapter, so it's not Bluetooth, so it's going to you're not going to have any, you know, any connection issues. 69 grams.
Stop it.
Yeah, looks nice. It does not look like it has the charging base that the MSI one that we reviewed or the Razer Viper Ultimate. It doesn't look like it has that, but it looks like you have that's a Type-C.
Type-C port, Type-C.
Type-C at the front for charging, which is fine. All of the, I reviewed both the Model D and Model O. Incredibly comfortable. Pretty cool.
Old man says wireless mice are getting much better, and I totally agree with that statement.
Yeah,
like for the longest time, I would say within the last 6 months really is when I have actually considered like a wireless mouse to be on par with a wired mouse as far as gaming goes. You've got the, you know, everybody moving over to 2.4 gigahertz dongles and connectivity for the mouse, which is a vast improvement over previous items. You've got lighter weight batteries in there that recharge and make things a lot easier. The lightweightness of a couple of these is much appreciated right now. So I think everybody's on a good path.
They said that they have a new BAMF. I don't know if that's supposed to be like what BAMF. Uh-huh. Yeah. But the sensor was created in collaboration with PixArt, which we have seen because Corsair has their own a lot of their own proprietary PixArt sensors as well. But it's you know, made to be lightweight, the sensor itself. So yeah, that's, you know, 71 hour battery life is pretty awesome. Hopefully this one, unlike the MSI one, hopefully this has a auto power off feature, because the MSI one that we reviewed did not. So yeah, so pretty excited. $79.99, which I think is, it's fair. The ones that have the charging base are around 100 and the Razer is 125. So yeah, I say it's a fair price for what you're going to get there. So yeah, we'll see whenever that one becomes available. So you get one of those into review. And then the big announcement this morning, I was kind of pumped. I was actually pretty pumped watching the trailer for this. So we talked about it last week. New Battlefield game was set to be announced today. It's Battlefield 2042. I'll play the trailer so you guys can see it on the screen.
Long video too.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minute trailer.
What was the one in the future? Was it Battlefield 2142?
Yes. That's what I thought. I was like, are they
Battlefield 42, right?
1942, yeah.
Yeah, we've had 2142 and now we're getting slightly in the future Battlefield 2042. So
yeah.
There's some craziness here.
Yeah, there's so much going on in
this. So intense, yeah.
The biggest thing, the two biggest takeaways for Battlefield, obviously, massive maps. And the cool thing about the massive maps is that you're going to get 128 player multiplayer on a big ass map like that you're seeing there. I'm pretty pumped for that. But I was disappointed that there's no traditional single player. But I assume that because it's EA, you'll be paying for content or something or pass season pass or DLC, however they do it, to give you some type of story modes. They announced the two modes, the traditional, I forget the name of the two modes, but there's one mode, which is like the massive battlefield, like the 128 player massive map. And then there's something like you're kind of seeing here on the screen, which is more like a 5-player unit type thing, but it's not a battle royale. It's like a
standard matches like you used to have.
Yeah. So you'll have that. No word on battle royale or anything like that yet, but there's a lot of different maps. Like, as you can see, we were just like in a warehouse and now we're like in the Arctic. There's one in Egypt, I think, that's featured on here. I'm pretty excited. And this is 2042. So in the slightly near future, a lot of cool stuff. You saw the wingsuit guy. Saw robots. You're going to see advanced tanks. You're going to see lots of
some jets in there.
Yeah. Lots of vehicles, lots of cool stuff. I'm pretty excited. It is going to be built for PlayStation 5, Windows and Xbox Series X. There will be a PS4 version and what's the Xbox Series S is the other one, but those will only support 64 players in multiplayer.
That makes sense.
You can check out the website. You can check out the trailer. I'm pretty pumped for it. I would be interesting to see if they're going to be using like any type of GPU tech. Like they've kind of always partnered with NVIDIA, you know?
Yep. No, there was just some craziness here. Like, and Battlefield, like Call of Duty in the past has kind of been that like shenanigans trick-shotting game, right? But there's some stuff in this, like in this scene with this pilot
with a jet,
where he hops out and with a rocket launcher and shoots the other jet down and then gets back into his jet.
Which I was like, well, that's completely not possible.
Yeah. Did this thing just like hover there for him to see? It's like, it's just like kind of hovering.
Yeah.
Which yeah, I maybe. Like,
oh, wait.
Let me. Oh, here we go. And we're off again.
But I am really excited for like the massive battles. And then they said that you're going to get the only in Battlefield moments are coming back to the game. So it's like I said.
And I mean, we play games that have close to 100, right? Fortnite in like a solos, I think it's 100. Is that right? Yeah, maybe. I think 100 players. And like for us in Apex, it's 60 people, right? When we're playing trios. So we've already got some of those bigger setups. But when it's like big team versus big team, it gets pretty fun.
And the maps are, they're
huge. Yeah, they're enormous.
Yeah. And like a lot of the maps, it's like you have ground troops, you have people in tanks, you have people in jets, you have people on boats. Like there's a lot going on. So I'm excited for that. It will launch unless something happens with delays, October 22nd. So, right in time for holiday season, you're home with the in-laws and you don't want to see them. So you play video games. Yeah, so you'll have Battlefield 2042. So I'm excited for that. So, we'll see more. They said at their EA Play event, which I don't know when that is, they'll release more information on the game. Pretty pumped for that. That brings us to what we have coming up next week, and it's actually behind me. I don't know if you can see it. It's like, oh, dang it. Right there. I've been testing that. That is the Viotech, the GNV 30 CBXA. I hate monitor names. They're just so bad. But it's a 200 Hertz, ultra like 21x9 gaming monitor. So it's a little different, but it's because it's 30 inch, not 34 inch. It doesn't feel as wide. So it's like, I think it is I'm going to play with it a little bit more, but I think it could be like a new standard for gaming just because it doesn't feel like an ultra wide, but it gives you that little bit more space. Right. And again, you don't have to I'm in front of a 49, so I have to go like this and go like this. But even a 34, you kind of have to move a little bit like this. You can still be centered and not have to like move your head to see across the entire screen. So I think it could be a new standard. So I will have that for you guys next week. Might have some other stuff as well. Just trying to get back in the rhythm of things. So, but I had a question. It's in our notes. So I've been as things open up more and traveling and, I have a laptop, but it's like a big clunky gaming laptop. And if I want to go somewhere and work for the day, I don't want to bring that big clunky laptop with me. It's just too big.
Yep.
I have an iPad Pro and it's nice, but it just doesn't it doesn't do certain things that I want. Like I need like a computer. And the iPad does almost everything, but it just doesn't,
How often do you use the iPad? Pretty often.
If I'm going somewhere, yeah. But like I haven't gone places because like I need to get specific work done and I just can't do it on the iPad. I'm going to a place that like I don't know if there's like a power cord because I gotta plug my big clunky laptop in. So I was like, the M1 MacBook Pro is kind of nice, And what was really nice is that I didn't realize that I was watching some. I've been really getting into. People who take like a Sprinter van and they like turn it into like a traveling home deal.
Yeah.
I was like, I've been watching those videos on YouTube like crazy, but this one guy,
was it the gaming one?
No, I did watch that guy's though.
I saw that on my YouTube and I added it to my watch later before the podcast today. I was like,
that was
like a good one.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I watched that, but no, this one guy, he's like, I wanted a second screen, but he's like, but I have a MacBook, but like if you have an iPad, you can use that as a secondary screen. And with the M1 with any MacBook Pro, I mean, you can run Windows on it. Yeah. So it's not like I would be locked into like the Mac OS, you know what I mean? Like if I needed to use specific apps or just not really want to learn Mac OS, you know? And I mean, not that they're like affordable, but like, you know, efficiency, battery life, because again, like if I'm going somewhere like the beach or like a pool or, you know, somewhere outside and I want to jump on for a few hours, like I'm going to be somewhere where there's no power and like I need, you know, something right. that, but this is just all up in my head because I haven't even looked at like what's available ultrabook wise, like thin and light wise on the
right. Is there a Windows system?
That yeah.
Just what you want.
That would do just that. That is, that has the battery life, that has the, you know, like I haven't even, this is like probably a couple months out, but I'm just like, you know, in my head, I want a nice thin and light laptop. And again, the reason for the M1 would be efficiency, battery level, and that I could basically have a second screen for no extra cost to me and yep. like no hassle. Like you reviewed those USB-C yeah. monitors. Like that's something extra to carry. I already have the iPad, so it's like I wouldn't have to put out
is
more.
Is that just like a C-to-C cable then to do that?
No, it's wireless.
It's AirPlay. Wireless. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's a little better than.
Yeah, like yeah. I mean so
I worked remote Tuesday and I don't work off of like when I work at home, I don't use this. I'm not in this, even in this room. So I use yeah. that screen again, you know, as a second screen. It's yeah. it's handy, but yeah, I've got extra cables and everything. So I could see yeah, where so the like, wireless no second screen yeah. would be nice.
And I mean, the iPad that I have, the battery life's like 12 hours or something crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like I said, we'll see. It'd be weird to get a MacBook or MacBook Pro, but crazier things have happened. So
yeah.
Guys, that is basically it for this week. You know, just following up with stuff. We'll have some fun stuff for you guys next week as well. We will be jumping over to Twitch. Obviously, Wednesday night is our gaming mm-hmm. night, so we'll be playing some Apex. Maybe I'll jump over to the second system over here and play on the 200 Hertz. I've been playing Apex on that. It's been a lot of fun, but I do like my bigger monitor. But just go on over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan is going to get the stream up. And that is it for this week, guys. We will hopefully see everybody next week.